I actually pondered the question why we've been doing what we're doing in regard, because I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but since the beginning of the year, we've been exercising a little bit, exercising our hearts, exercising our spiritual muscles, if you will, to learn and grow in the area specifically called declarative prayer. And so how many of you have one of the declarative prayer booklets and you've been actually looking at it? Okay, good. Those of you who did not raise your hand, you're either too tired to raise your hand, or maybe you're just being really truthful. That's okay. Hey, at some point, grab one of those booklets, because here's the deal. Why have we been doing that? Why have we been pushing you guys? Why have we been kind of capturing that kind of repetition of it and getting it? Listen, it's for your benefit, okay? For your benefit. It's for you to learn and grow. Because here's the deal. We can't always and forever live our Christianity, live our Christian faith, live the our following of Jesus secondhand. Okay, does that make sense to you? Our goal is for that to become a firsthand experience for you. And that's what this is about. It's about helping you to really kind of discover what it feels like, kind of get in there. This might have been new from the very beginning of the year, but I'm hoping that from the beginning of the year to now, if that was kind of a new concept for you or even a challenging concept to you, that this has been an area of growth for you at the end of the day, because we can't leave it up to Pastor Brad to live this thing out. And man, well, Pastor Brad will pray declaratively. He will. But at some point, we're going to have to capture that as well and not live this thing secondhand. Does that make sense to you? This has got to be a firsthand experience for us. And so that's what this thing is about, for us to kind of grow and not just allow the experts to live it out and tell us about it, but rather for us to apply it. What do we say around here? Application makes... okay, let's try this again. All right, and so, other than Dean, and then Kirby jumped in before everybody. All right, so here's the deal: application. It makes all the difference all the time. Okay, and so eventually we apply these things, and it becomes less about what the expert told us, because Brad's I would label him an expert now. Maybe if he was here, he'd be like, "Oh, hang on." I would label an expert on this thing. That he's been trying to push this into us. Gabe started us out at the beginning of the year. This is not a short spurt kind of thing. This wasn't a series. This was a life change. This was a heart change for us. This was a directional change for us here. And so that's what we've been after. And so I want you to embrace it, just you, okay? For you and for the sake of your family, I want you to grab hold of it as a firsthand thing. So apply what you're learning, and that's what we're trying to help you practice. So at the very least, you've got Tuesday morning to engage this. But my hope is that you're doing it a lot more than just that, all right? And so we're going to look at, I think this one's number three in order, declare the defeat of the enemy, all right? And so I love the little tagline underneath. This would be in your booklet, and it's got a ton of scriptures to go with what he's doing. But I like celebrate the victory, okay? Christ Jesus defeats all enemies. And so for the rest of your booklet, if you're tracking with us right now, for the rest of your booklet, it's really about that. All of it is about that. It's God's triumph. It is the finished work of the cross. This is very celebratory, okay? It's about celebration. And so if you don't know how to have some fun with it, you need to learn how to have some fun with it. This is celebrating. This is a celebration. And so you need to embrace what that feels like. So this is something that we can get excited about. It again, it's not secondhand. So like, man, Brad gets really excited about it. And he does something like, woo, come on, right? That was pretty good, right? Yeah. Wore my ACP shirt today. That was pretty good. Yes, we can understand, man, Brad's really excited about this, but listen, celebrate the victory. If you don't get anything else from it, and of course we go down it, God teaches us, teach me to overcome in your ways. God free me from my blind spots, expose hurtful ways in me. The enemy is defeated. He is powerless. The enemy is defeated. We are rescued from darkness. The enemy is defeated. His time is short. We need to celebrate the victory, man. So this should be really easy. So hey, if you can, stand to your feet this morning, okay? Let's just start out like this. Let's lift our hands high, and let's just say this together. I'm going to say the enemy is defeated, and you're going to follow along with me, okay? And your part is he is powerless. We are rescued from darkness. His time is short. So let's just declare that together. The enemy is defeated. All right, let's do the first one again. The enemy is defeated. Let's celebrate it. All right? He is powerless. The enemy is defeated. We are rescued from darkness. The enemy is defeated. His time is short. All right, let's celebrate together as we worship. Come on. A few of you are excited. All right. God, that you are completely and 100% undefeated, that nothing can dominate you, but you dominate everything. God, that you call the shots, and God, even in particular in my own life, God, if I will hear your voice, victory will be mine because of you. And God, because of what you've done in the cross of Christ, you have set us free. And God, we're going to be men that celebrate that truth. That in my household, God, you are powerful, and God, that you are mighty, and there is nothing that can stand against you. And so, God, Lord, we release you to be you in our lives, God, because we want to live victorious. We don't want to live beat down. God, we don't want to live as those that are underneath, but God, we want to rise up and above all the enemies that can come against us, God. All the enemies that can come against our families and in our church, God, we put them down in your name. God, you are victorious above all. God, we love you and we trust you with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat this morning, guys. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Feeling all right? I always make the comment that it is so early because it absolutely is. I woke up this morning and I was like, whoo! It's early, right? I was like, man, it's early in the morning, but that's okay, man. We got good coffee and good fellowship this morning to wake you up a little bit. And so, man, let's get our blood flowing. Y'all ready to go? We got to cover three chapters this morning, three chapters in the Bible. All right, Genesis 10, 11, and 12 is what we're going to look at this morning, okay? And we're going to hopefully be out on time. We're going to do our best, all right? So three chapters in the Bible that we're about to cover. Now, I want to show you two men. One you're pretty familiar with. The other one you'll probably know, but probably more by cultural reference. But we'll deal with him in just a second. What you get a lot in Genesis 10, 11, and 12 is you get a lot of genealogies, which none of us ever read, if we're honest. That's the reason why I would be willing to bet that a lot of us in this room have never actually finished reading the book of Numbers. Is that a fair statement? Maybe that's not a fair statement. And so if you've read it, awesome. But I would be willing to bet most of you are like me. That's difficult to get through, right? I mean, unless if you're like just really resolved and you're going to read the Bible in a year, and then you get to the book of Numbers and you're like, man, I'm going to do this thing, right? But then by, I don't know, like the 103rd begat so-and-so, you start scanning the page, baby, right? You start scanning the page. And so I understand. And so you're going to get a lot of genealogy here in these three chapters, but it's going to actually introduce us to a couple of different guys. The first guy that we run into is a guy by the name of Nimrod. And he is a character that actually gets more play in the genealogy here than most, if not everybody else, except for the last guy that we'll talk about. He gets at least a statement as to who he is as a person. And so if you got a little lost, if you end up reading Genesis 10 and you get a little bit tired of the genealogy, that's okay. Just stop at least for 1 second and look at Nimrod. And so let's read a couple of things that I want to point out about him. I guess his dad's name is Cush, I guess. Cush fathered Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good praise. Like the first guy. He's the first guy on earth to be a mighty man, all right? His is the power, right? He is a mighty man. That's a good thing. Verse 9, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, what do we just learn about him? Okay, he's a mighty warrior, yes, but he's got a name now because he is the first mighty man on the planet. Okay, that's just the Bible, okay? He's the first mighty man on earth, and then he uses that might to be a great hunter. Now, back then, they didn't have all of these athletic competitions where they could put on display their athletic prowess. The way they did this back then was, can you kill that big animal or not? That was the way you showed your strength as a man, is there's a wild animal. Get out there, boy, right? You know, if the animal took a chunk out of you, it was, walk it off, son, right? You know, just like what we do with our sons, walk it off, right? As my dad would say, there ain't no blood. Get in there. And I'm like, no, seriously, I'm literally bleeding, all right? Wipe it off, man. Get in there. Rub some dirt on it, right? Rub some dirt on it. Everything's going to be fine. That's the way they showed their strength, their might was, there's that big animal. Can you kill that big animal or not? And Nimrod was prolific. He was a mighty man, the first one on the earth, and he killed things well. Okay? He put things down, right? So much so that he gets a reputation. And then it says this. It says he's so mighty, in fact, that his name becomes something to describe what's mighty. So like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And so it would be like if you were trying to describe something amazing, but you couldn't find the word, you would say, that's Nimrod. Dude, you're like Nimrod, son. And everybody would be like, whoa, like Nimrod, son, right? Everybody would be like that, right? It would be like, okay, in our terms, it would be like, man, like he was like LeBron James out there, right? That's how you would describe my basketball game, son. It's like LeBron James out there becomes this adjective to describe. It becomes this label that you, like, I don't know how good you are, but you're like Nimrod good, Alan. That's what it's saying. That's what it's doing here. And so he gets power. He gets a name. Excuse me. He gets glory, right? He's got power. He's got glory. And then listen to the next line. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. In a lot of other places, but we'll focus in on that one. The beginning of his kingdom is Babel. So we got Nimrod. He's awesome in the eyes of everybody. He's got power. He's got glory. He's got his own kingdom. This is good stuff for him, right? It's looking good for Nimrod. Nimrod is powerful, and we actually begin to see people begin to follow him and be influenced by him. He's got a circle of people, and that circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and people are influenced by who he is as a person. And what he is doing, the result of this man's journey to build his own kingdom and influence people. And that begins to happen for him. Have you ever heard the statement, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey? Have you ever heard that? What a stupid statement, isn't it? What a dumb statement, man. I mean, I understand what people mean when they say when they say it's not about the destination, but the journey, okay? They're trying to get you to understand that, you know, hey, you want to enjoy your time that you're having, but the destination matters, man. Like, where you're going matters. Because if you get a group of people together, like, if we just brought you in every Tuesday morning at 6:30, and, man, we sang songs, and we, man, gathered together, and we unified our hearts around the task of getting everyone to watch every season of Gilligan's Island. That was our cause, man. That's what we're going to do. But if we all got together with the goal to provide life-saving medicine for people that need it, one goal, one cause, one destination is better than the other. The end absolutely matters. And so when we see Nimrod, right now everything looks good, and he's on this journey, and he's got power and glory and his kingdom, and his kingdom is expanding, and he's got more cities than just Babel, more nations, more people than just Babel. But when we see it, we get to chapter 11, and it begins to unpack where this kingdom has gone. And listen, the destination's going to matter. And so one of the questions that I wanted you to ponder this morning as we go, where are you going? So like when you engage things like declarative prayer, when you come here on Tuesday morning, when you're looking at your walk in Christ, listen, the journey has value, but the destination matters. Where do you want to be when this thing is over with? Does it make sense? Where do you want to be? What do you personally look like? What do you want your family to look like? When you get to the end of this deal, that question matters, and it matters more than the journey. The journey has value, absolutely, but the destination makes all the difference. The destination matters, man. And so by the time we get to chapter 11, we see where this is landed. Starts in verse 1. Now the whole earth. I love the words that the writer is using here. He's the first on earth to be a mighty man. And now he's going to say the whole earth. So the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen as mortar, that's tar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And so what we see here is we've got Nimrod, who has power, who has glory, and who has his own kingdom. By his own account, it would be, I have power, I have glory, and I have a kingdom. Now, what you see is the byproduct of that pursuit has come out into the people that he's influencing. And what are they saying? Did you hear it? Let us build us a place. Ours is the kingdom. Okay? We're going to build a ginormous tower, which in that day would have been a sign of strength. Ours is the power. Right? And ours is the glory. Because we're going to be up here and we're going to make a name for ourselves. Ours is the glory. Do you see the byproduct of one man's heart to the heart of a nation, heart of a group of people? You see that? That's what's happening in this moment. When we get to Babel, and they actually tip their hand by the end of it in verse 4 on what their motivation is. What's the reason for all of this? And it says this, lest we be dispersed or scattered over the face of the earth. And so here's what I will say, is I think that there's something in every person, but especially us men, there's this need to be a part of something. There's this need to do something epic. Okay? There's this need to be great. There's this need to be recognized. There's this need to want power, glory, and our own kingdom. We say it even in the little quips that we have, even in our culture. I am the king of my own castle. The king of my own castle. It's my kingdom. This is my. And so we have this like innately in us. I mean, it's intrinsic in the heart of men to be a part of something. And what you see in the people here in Babel is that they are motivated by fear. They are so terrified that they won't be anything. They won't become anything. They won't have a name. They won't have glory. They won't have their kingdom. They won't be anything. They will not make a mark on this earth. They are so terrified at that fact that that's what their motivation is. Do you see that? Their motivation is fear. And I think for each one of us in here, we can intrinsically feel that fear. Is my life not going to mean anything? Am I not going to do anything significant? You want to tell you something in our culture that shows us where we're at? On how much we want to be a part of something epic? Video games. Right? And listen, before you say, listen, my son plays video games. I never really was much of a gamer. I don't play video games. And so they frustrate me because I'm like, LeBron James would not miss that. I'm sorry. That's dumb to me. And so like, if I'm playing a sports game, I'm like, that's not going to happen. But here's the deal. We all want to be a part of something epic, and we see that even in our young men who are like, I don't know, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, and hopefully there's nobody in here, but 28 years old still living at mom and dad's house in the basement playing video games on an Xbox. With me? And what is that? What is that? Man, I want to, man, Call of Duty. I want to liberate a nation from tyranny. I want to get in there with my thumbs. I want to get in there. Right? You know what I mean? Yeah, they think they're Marines. Like they're coming out of their bedroom. Hoorah! But ISIS isn't defeated. And listen, if you play video games, man, God bless you. I'm not trying to say anything about video games, but what I am saying is there's something in our hearts that want to be a part of something like that. We do. We don't. So I think even for some of us in here, we're like, I don't. You know, I wouldn't admit this, right? But we do. We want to be a part of an epic love story. We do. I mean, right? We want to be a part of something epic, man. The epic love story where the woman wants the man, and I want to be that man, right? We want to be a part of that, and there's something in us that goes, I want this to be me. And we live out these fantasies on a game console. We live out this kind of stuff and just our own minds and in our own hearts, and because we are terrified that we won't become something. But listen, you're a part of something epic, man. There's something else going on here. But if our motivation simply is, I'm so afraid that I won't become or do anything in this life, if this becomes your motivation, that I just want to build a little kingdom, get a little bit of power, get a little bit of glory in my own circle of influence, in my own sphere of life, then what's going to happen is what begins to go down is all the decisions that you make, like every decision you make, every job choice you make, right? Every financial decision for your family that you make begins to be shaped by a fear that says, I have to be something. Now, what's the danger? The danger of that is three problems, and we find it in the text. First problem is this. Now, if you're, I don't know if you're a note taker or not, and if you are, be blessed this morning, because this is a rarity for me. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, okay? That never happens. If you've heard me preach before, that just doesn't happen. Normally, it's just a big glob mess that you got to sort out later, okay, and get the CD, all right, and listen to it again at half speed, okay? But this morning, I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, okay? So if you're a note taker, be blessed. Number one, here's the first problem that we run into with a heart that's motivated by fear just to be something, and what it causes us to chase is our own power, is our own glory, and our own kingdom, and this is what the problem is. It will drive us in the wrong direction. I don't know if you caught it or not, but the writer makes a point to tell us that these people, once they decided to make for themselves their own nation, they migrated east. Now, that might not be a big problem to you because you're just like, yeah, I mean, east, awesome. There's not a whole lot east of here until you get to, like, Dallas. Abilene gets a nod. It's just a place to stop for the bathroom. But you can migrate east, and Dallas is out there. That's great, whatever. But they migrated east. Now, this is a problem. For the original reader, they would go, oh, my goodness. They migrated east. Uh-oh. These guys are off the path. Why? Because whenever we look at the fall of man, Adam and Eve, where are they sent to? It says they moved east of Eden. Fall of man happens. Everything is fractured between man and God. There's an issue. God has to push them out of the garden, shows his grace and his mercy by not killing them on the spot. Okay? Preaches the message of the gospel to Adam and Eve and then sends them on their way. And they says that they moved east of Eden. This was the problem. Then even when you get to Cain, when he kills Abel, what happens? When God sends him out on his way, when God pushes him away, where does he get pushed to? To the east. This is always the issue between God and man in the Old Testament here. They moved east. Now God redeems that later, but we don't have time for that, okay? This is a problem. So for the original reader to read, oh, they moved east, the writer makes the point to say they migrated east. Because what the vision should have been, or what the picture was, is that God has this plan and design, but they decided to do their own thing, go after their own stuff, build their own kingdom, and they moved east to do so. Do you see that? Moves you in the wrong direction. The second you decide to take your life and make it about your power, your glory, your kingdom, you are automatically, okay, look right at me, you're automatically on the wrong track. This is not good. That's the picture that we see in the text. Can you still look successful and be going the wrong direction? That's what happened to them. I mean, by all account, at this point, they look super successful. They look like Nimrod. Mighty in the earth. Right? Glorious in name. because they're standing in their own kingdom that they built. So by all account, they look successful. And listen, men, you can be successful. You can look that way. You can even be that way. By all natural accounts, you can be the most successful guy on the planet and still be going the wrong way. Because our lives can be built out on, I want my power, I want my kingdom, I want my glory. And if that's what we're dead set on, and some of us, we are right now, we've migrated east. Like even when I'm talking right now, you've migrated east. And when I'm telling you, you're out there on the wrong thing because you made your life about you and about what you can accomplish. And I've got to be somebody. And that begins to be an issue for us. Second problem. Number two. It ends up making you build something unstable. You end up building something unstable. When your pursuit is your own power, your own glory, your own kingdom, it makes you build things that aren't stable. It will cause you to build things that aren't stable. If you look in the text in verse 3, it's kind of weird in the narrative when you're reading it. It almost seems out of place. I don't know if y'all felt this way or not, but it's like, man, they migrated east to build their kingdom. And then they built with bricks and more, you know, not mortar, but tar. It was amazing. Almost seems out of place, doesn't it? It's like, man, they conquered, you know, they conquered ISIS, man. They had their, man, they were, man, doing work on those guys and they were out there. And then they wore these like little pins on their jackets. Had like little pictures of friends and family. And you know what I'm saying? Like if I was telling a story like, man, okay, so the men, our army went in and they destroyed and crushed the enemy. I mean, it was amazing. They owned everything. They took their flags down. I mean, they were wrecking shop in there. And then they wore these little pins on their jackets. It was nice and it was kind of gold. And it was, you know, and then it had like this little ribbon coming down and had pictures of their wife and family on it. It was so cute and so nice, right? That's the way that reads. If you read it again, that's the way it is. It's like, man, they're going to do this amazing thing. And it's like, oh, and then they, you know, they use bricks and tar, and it was great. But really, if you get down to it, to the original reader, again, they would be like, what? I mean, to the people of Israel, when they read this story later on, they would go, okay, that's funny. They would laugh out loud. Like they would text their friends, can you believe they built with bricks? LOL. Laughy face. So funny. They'd probably get that one that's like laughing so much it's crying, right? And they would send that. Because where would they have been at that point? Like where, when they come out and they're the people of it and they begin to read these stories and all that, where are they? What are they doing? They're in Egypt. Doing what? Making bricks. Right? Making bricks. So they'd be like, ha, 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 they built it with bricks. So dumb, man. Because bricks, you can make them look better, make your shapes better, but it wasn't as stable as a stone. It's two completely different things. Back then, it would have been like you're cheating. Because it's cheaper, it's easier, and you can make it look better on the outside because you can shape the bricks better the way you want them. But they're not as strong or stable as a stone. You see that? They're using tar for mortar. It makes the comparison. Right? It makes the comparison between brick and stone. One is not as stable and one is stable and it's using tar and mortar. There's a difference there. One is dry and more like concrete and the other one is flammable. See what I mean? And one is highly flammable. See the issue? But man, we're going to build this thing. I need power. I need glory. I need a kingdom. So let's just build stuff. Let's just get it up there, man. Well, hey, this takes a little bit of time to kind of build. No, man, let's cut corners. Because I need that. And it'll begin to make you not only go the wrong direction, but you'll build something unstable that will be hollow at best. And it won't be able to stand. And that's what you get here, is the comparison between what's stable and what isn't. And the last thing is this. It leads to confusion. You get it in verse 5 through 9. It says this, "And the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the children of men had built." They did it. They built it. They built the tower. The top is in the heavens. And they built it. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them." Now, we don't have time for this, but I'm just going to say it. I don't know that what God's saying in this moment is, they really don't need me. Oh my God. Oh my me. They really don't need me. If they put their mind to it, they don't need me. Oh no. That's not what God's doing. I believe what God's saying in this moment is, I know that they need me. And if they continue on this path, on this trek, and they get these successes, they'll think they don't. That's the point here. They will be deceived into thinking they don't need me. But they absolutely do. Because God knows better about who needs him and who doesn't. Everybody needs him, all right? And nobody is beyond needing him. That's his point. So something's got to happen. So really, it's a grace-filled move by God. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. That'd be frustrating if you were trying to build stuff. So the Lord dispersed them, so their goal was not to be dispersed. But it ends up there anyways. The Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. I love that picture as well. And so what I think is interesting about this, and I can kind of geek out about the language in the Bible sometimes, but what's interesting is that I think what their goal was, Babilo, which means the gates of God. But what they got is Babel, confusion. Does that make sense to you? I think what they were after was building the gates of God. Babilo. But all they got was Babel. We still use that word today, don't we? It's that you're trying to say a lot of stuff, but it's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. It's confusion. Everybody's confused when it gets to the end of it. That the destination for our lives, if they are not first and foremost set on God and who he is, if our goal is godless, if what our pursuits are godless, even if we throw on in Jesus' name, like Pastor Brad talked about on Sunday, wasn't necessarily his point then, but I'm going to use it now. If we just throw the name of Jesus on there, we just slap a label on there and say, man, Jesus is here, but our own pursuit in our own hearts is for our own power, our own glory, our own kingdom. Listen to me. The destination, which matters more than the journey, look fun until now. Because then at the end of it, everybody's confused. Nobody understands what's going on. Nobody understands how we got here. And then we just have to stop building what we're building and leave. And I think that that's the fear that some of us feel in this room right now, maybe. It's how do I navigate that? Because I know that some of us in this room, we live our lives in this place. And listen, I only say it because I've lived it. If I could finally have blank in life, if I could arrive at this place in life, if I could have this much money in life, if I could get the house and the car and the wife and the kids and the, maybe not the kids. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. If you've ever had one of those, I don't know. I don't know if you would say that now. Hopefully. They're a reward from the Lord, okay? If I just got all of this stuff to align in life, I mean, if I just got that job, if I just got that career, if I just get that girl, then everything, man, everything's going to be amazing. I'm going to get everything I want. Everything's going to work out right. And listen, I don't know what you're chasing in here. I don't know what your heart tends to chase. I know what my heart tends to chase, okay? But I don't know what you're chasing in here for your own power and your own glory and for your own kingdom, because what I do know is all of us have something that we chase. If we're not careful, all of us have something that we want to fill in that blank. If I just had that, everything would be cool. Everything would be right with me. And I don't know what you're chasing, but if it is godless, then what God would say to you is it's not what you were made for. It's not what you were made for. You were made for something more than that, bigger than that. You were called to be a part of a kingdom that doesn't fade, that doesn't stop building, that doesn't stop growing, that doesn't stop advancing. You were called to be a part of something greater than that. And listen, maybe you're chasing that job, and listen, maybe God has created you to be in that job. Maybe he's created you just to make money. But if that pursuit migrates east, if it moves away from the goal of advancing the kingdom, then we've got an issue. Then we've got a problem. But see, that's why God keeps going. And we get introduced in chapter 12 to a man by the name of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. What I love is the comparison that when you look at the people of Nimrod and their heart, it was, we will do this. Come let us, come let us, come let us. And when you get to Abram, it is God saying, I will, I will, I will do this. I will bless you. I will make you great. I will give you, I will bless all of the families on the earth. Do you see the same theme? It's covering everything, man. I will bless every family on earth through you, Abram, if you'll just follow me and come my way. And I'm going to ask you to do something crazy, because back then you didn't leave father's house. Why? Because that's all your money. I get dad's money. I get dad's stuff. I get the name. And I get to build on my family's reputation and build for myself my little kingdom. And God says, come on out of that. And I'm going to make you great. I'm going to do something you can't do. I'm going to make you awesome. And I'm going to bless all the families on all the earth through you. And that was Abram's journey. But what was the destination? What was his destination? Well, if you fast forward in the Bible to Galatians chapter 3, Paul's going to tell the Galatians what the destination was. He'll say that on purpose, foreseeing from the scriptures what was going to be the case, that God was going to save all of the Gentiles, he preached the gospel to Abram. Read it. He preached the gospel to Abraham. Then he eventually tells them that out of your offspring, that's where the promise is. That's where the blessings are. That's how I'm going to bless the whole world. And it's through your offspring. And he makes a point to say, and I didn't say offsprings, meaning many. I'm saying offspring, meaning one, and that's Jesus. That you want to know where the destination is for Abram's life came much, much later in the person and the work of Christ Jesus. And he says, if you'll follow me, I will bring people to myself through Christ, through my own son. And that's where this thing is going. And I'm going to build something far more spectacular than you could ever know. I'm going to build a nation that never fades. I'm going to build a nation that doesn't cut corners. I'm going to build a nation and build a kingdom that stands forever. And people are going to get in on this thing. And they're going to surrender their own wills and their own desires and their own stuff to follow me. And I'm going to make them great. And I'm going to make them great through the person and work of Jesus. And what I love, I woke up with this verse in my head, and I can't believe I had forgotten about it. Hebrews chapter 11. It begins the talk about by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And so it talks about this promise, and by faith Abraham did this and did that. And then it says in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 11 about Abraham, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Do you see that? Do you love that? That instead of building a kingdom that fades, instead of building a kingdom that looks good on the outside but it's hollow on the inside, instead of building a kingdom that influences people to move the wrong direction, listen, you've got many of you in here, and most of us in here will eventually. We all have at least a very small sphere of influence, and it's called our household right now. Which guy do you want to be? Because listen, Nimrod had a name that was meant to be, man, that was Nimrod. Now we use that as a punchline, as an insult, don't we? Nimrod. Nobody ever uses that anymore. I think I'm going to bring it back. Pick it up. Nimrod. Love that. It's used as a punchline. It's used as an insult. It was meant to be used as, man, if you're doing something awesome, that was Nimrod. It's not anymore. Listen, which guy do you want to be, Nimrod or Abram? Which guy do you want to be, man, for your family? The guy that pursues his own deal because you want to know the truth? You'll influence people in your household, and that's what they'll chase. That'll be the result. That's what they'll chase. Outside of the grace and mercy of Jesus, grab them and pull them out of that mess like he did Abram. That would be my hope. Because, you know, Abram wasn't awesome, right? When God grabbed him, you learn in the book of Joshua that he's actually serving and worshiping the gods of his fathers. He wasn't looking for God. Like any movie you ever see Abram in, it's always like Abram going, man, if I could just find God. And then God shows up, hey, Abram, come on out. And he's like, finally. That's not the case. Abram wasn't looking for God, but God came looking for Abram and said, come on out of there. So I would hope your children would be that way. But listen, that's not likely. The direction we go is the direction our house will go. We're going to chase our own power, our own glory, our own kingdom, our own little kingdom, our own sandcastle. Or are we going to lay it down and listen to the voice of God and follow him? Go his way and allow him to bless. But listen, this can't just be a sermon that says, well, hey, I mean, you know, are you going to go your own way or are you going to follow God and it's going to be awesome? No, listen, the ultimate goal here is, are you going to proclaim Christ? That's what it's meant for. That's what the goal is, to point to Jesus. Point to the hope found in Christ. That's the goal. That was the whole point of even Abram's life. He heard it from God himself. Knowing that this was the purpose for grabbing Abram, because eventually his seed would be the seed that saves the whole world. Yes. So if I'm going to be Abram, and if I'm going to embrace, man, God's blessing and his and him making things great, and him blessing my family through what I've chosen to do, through my faith in him, then it's going to have to be about pointing them to Jesus. Does it make sense to you? Which guy are you going to be? My hope is that you'll all pick the latter. But that means we're going to have to do some work in our hearts. And so with the last few minutes, here's what I want to do this morning. I apologize. I took a little longer this morning. But we got time. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Just briefly, just for a moment. I want you to take time, just you. This morning, just want you to stop, and I want you to ponder, and I want you to think, and I want you to look at where am I at right now? What am I chasing? What do I have even a tendency to chase? Because maybe you're not chasing it right now. Man, maybe right now, man, your heart's solid, man. Maybe you're pointing in the right direction. That's awesome. But what do you tend to lean towards? Think about that. And then as you kind of ponder that, if you're at your tables or if you need to move around, that's fine. Find somebody to pray for that particular thing this morning before you leave. Don't leave without it, okay? Well, let's think about that. What do I tend to be a Nimrod in? Right? What do I tend to act like a Nimrod? I'm going to go my own way. If we'll ponder that this morning and really be honest with it and allow somebody to pray for us, man, let's keep our focus on where we're going, because we're a part of something amazing. We're a part of something epic. And it's a kingdom that God's building. Not because we're awesome, but because Christ is awesome in us and we belong to him. Amen. All right, Father, I just thank you for these men, and I just ask right now in this moment that you would help us to just grow in you this morning. Help us to be honest in our hearts right now, and help us join with other men in this room. Lord, we love you, and we trust you with where you're taking us. And so, we ask, Lord, just help us with our lives to elevate Jesus. And watch as we do that, that it impacts and influences our family and the people of our city and the surrounding communities. Lord, we love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.